WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Happy New Year. We have some wonderful music to help you get 1995 off to a good start. When an opera singer takes on Broadway songs, it often means trouble. That's why Dawn Upshaw's recent recording of Show Tunes is such a surprise. Then again, Upshaw is such an unassuming opera singer, headlines have referred to her as the Undiva and the Diva Next Door. Her latest album, I Wish It So, features songs by Leonard Bernstein, Mark Blitzstein, Stephen Sondheim, and Kurt Vile. She's already won 2 Grammy Awards for her 1989 album of songs by Samuel Barber and John Harbison, and for her 1991 album, The Girl with Orange Lips, a collection of songs by Ravel, Stravinsky, and Earl Kim. We'll feature the interview I recorded with her last fall after we hear the title track from her album, I Wish It So.
I've an unrest inside me. Oh, it's long I have had such an unrest inside me. And it's getting real bad. I'm sleeping at night and my heart beats so loud that I wake all dizzy and light with a dreaming and feeling this ache. Such a thumping inside me that I think I'll go mad. What I wish, I still don't know, but it's bound to come, though so long to wait.
Dawn Upshaw, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you, Terry.
Now, the song that we just heard is by Mark Blitzstein, who I know basically from, you know, as the translator of Brecht's lyrics for the Three Penny Opera. I know he wrote The Cradle Where Rocks. I don't know the music. And this is such a beautiful song. It was really a revelation to me to hear it. So first I want to thank you for recording it and then for doing it so well. What made you choose this?
Well, I had heard it on a recording. When I became interested in looking into some Mark Blitzstein music, I heard a recording of lots of different songs. And this one touched me more than any other, and has become quite an important song altogether for me. I think it has a wonderful message, and that's why I really chose it to sort of open the entire recording and gave the recording this title.
How did you narrow down your record to 4 composers?
We thought it might be interesting to take these 4 composers who had all written for opera and music theater, and had similar things in common in terms of their backgrounds and what they were trying to do in American music theater. So the challenge was narrowing down all the songs because there are so many wonderful songs. But we did want to choose maybe, for the most part, some that hadn't been heard all that often.
I'm one of the people who gets kind of scared when I hear that an opera singer is going to do Broadway songs. Because with the exception of say, Eileen Farrell, so many opera singers have stiff phrasing and very pretentious pronunciations, and they seem to almost be condescending to the material. Mm-hmm. And you sing with a directness and a colloquialism that I think, you know, pop or Broadway really requires, but you have the sureness of a wonderful and trained singer. Were you used to singing this material?
I did a fair amount of it, you know, in high school, but I'm sure most of my colleagues did. I guess I've always tried to stick close to my love for lyrics and for words. And sometimes I think that perhaps I'm viewed by my own audiences in opera and in the classical world as being a little too relaxed in that sense. And maybe I was able to approach these words a little bit more naturally and comfortably because of that. But I really do always work from the text, and that's what brings me to new music, that my interest in a particular song.
Let me pause here to play another of the songs from your new album. Why don't we hear That's Him, which is a collaboration between Kurt Weill and Ogden Nash. Tell me why you chose this song.
I love these lyrics. They're so much fun. And I just thought it was a beautiful, you know, an old gem, kind of in just a wonderful style that I actually miss nowadays in songs. I didn't know this song before. My friend Tommy Krasker showed it to me, and I fell in love with it, had to do it.
Okay, I'm glad you did. This is Dawn Upshaw from her new album, I Wish It So.
You know the way you feel when there is autumn in the air. That's him, that's him. The way you feel when Antoine has finished with your hair. That's him, that's him. You know the way you feel when you smell bread baking. The way you feel when suddenly a tooth stops aching. Wonderful world, wonderful you. That's him, that's him. He is as simple as a swim in summer.
Dawn Upshaw, do you think you use your voice differently when you're singing Broadway songs and when you're singing opera? Is there a different range, for instance, that you're in?
Oh, definitely. A much different vocal range. Just in terms of the lower, it's a much lower range. I'm using more of my middle and lower notes than I do in opera and other classical music. But I really like to think that in terms of producing the sound, I'm not doing much differently. I think what is the primary difference is the way I use words and perhaps use the consonants and the vowels in order to sound as natural as possible. Now, hearing myself say that, I think, geez, I should do that all the time, whether I'm singing classical music or music theater. But anyway, I felt like everything needed to be very accessible, the diction especially.
So what's the difference between the way you pronounce consonants and vowels in opera and the way you do with music theater?
I guess I give myself a little bit more liberty in the music theater to express and maybe spend a little bit more time on consonants, for instance. It becomes more important, depending on what style you're singing in, but say Mozart, to sing more legato, and so much of the way the music is written and a phrase is turned depends on singing on vowel longer than necessarily, you know, playing with consonants.
Yeah, I think a lot of classical singers are appalled at the way pop singers sing the consonants. Mm-hmm. I mean, consonants are supposed to just end the vowel, right?
Well, except I find that it's the consonants that really make a singer, you know, individual from another singer, because you can be so expressive with a consonant. I find that it's much more difficult to be expressive with a vowel, you know.
Is there any way you could demonstrate for us what you mean?
Sure. One of the songs, That's Him. I'm trying to say, you know the way you feel when there is autumn in the air. That's him. That's him. And when I sing That's Him, I think that the M can show everybody how much I love him. I can enjoy, almost like I'm eating a delicious fruit. I can enjoy that M. And what I might do if it were Mozart, although I'm not certain about this, but I think, you know, that I might dwell more on the vowel and less on the M.
And how would that sound?
That's him. That's him. You know, Right.
Something
right.
Much less interesting, isn't it?
I want to quote something from Opera News. The article said about you that you are one of the most hotly debated young singers. Mm. Your talent is not in question, but opinion is divided over what exactly is the best place for you, the opera or the recital hall on the concert stage. Now, that was written even before you started doing music theater repertoire. So, you know, how does it feel to be the subject of debate about where, you know, where you most belong?
Well, you know, if I can get people out of any kind of funk that might be out there and thinking a little bit differently, I'm happy for it. I think that sometimes the classical music world and the opera world can be a little bit stiff, and I have trouble with it myself sometimes. So if this challenges them at all, that's fine with me.
I imagine people are kind of competing for your attention now, in the sense that, like, I want to urge you to do more material, like on your new album, mm-hmm. you know, more music theater material, yeah. whereas I'm sure opera fans are trying to pull you more in an opera direction. Yeah.
It's difficult. I mean, I think when you say that about my family, my parents grew up much more with folk music and music theater. In fact, they were involved and sort of dragged me along to do some community theater when I was living at home, at least. And they were involved in musicals. And so when I went off into the classical world, they were very good about trying to follow and keep up with me and stuff. But once I did this recording, you know, I could tell they felt like, oh, you've come back home to us. And, you know, this is it. This is the recording we've been waiting for, which leaves me feeling a little bit funny sometimes.
How so?
Well, I think, you know, I love my work. I don't pick up any project that I'm not very interested in and committed to. I think what I will do is, I do love variety, and Lord knows I have a lot of variety in my life, not just musically, but in terms of my family life and my kids, and that's what makes life interesting. So I will continue to add this new music, music theater and things in that direction to my work.
Dawn Upshaw is my guest. She has a new recording of Songs from Broadway called I Wish It So. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Dawn Upshaw. Her new album of songs from music theater is called I Wish It So. You sing on the Symphony No. 3 by Henrik Goretzky, which was recorded, a couple of years ago? And
yes.
It became this phenomenon. It was a really big seller in the United States. It made it onto the top 10, the pop top 10 in England.
Right.
Did you have any sense that it would be that kind of phenomenon when you recorded it?
No, none at all. It was a complete surprise, really, to all of us involved, which is not to say that we didn't all have very profound experiences as we recorded it. We did. We just never expected so wide an audience in the world to have that same experience themselves.
I want to play a short excerpt of this symphony, since it's sung in Polish. Tell us a little bit about what the symphony is about.
Well, it really has a lot to do with the composer, Mr. Goretzky's experience with the Second World War and all of the various people who were killed in the concentration camps. And he lived not very far from Auschwitz and had actually visited some of the camps. And as you can imagine, this had quite an effect on him. He chose some texts for this piece. It's called the Symphony of Sorrowful Songs. They're really religious texts and all have to do with loss. Two of them have to do with losing a mother losing her son. And the middle movement has to do with something he had read that was actually engraved in a prison wall by, a 14-year-old girl, which stated when she had been imprisoned and a message to her mother to please not cry for her, that Mother Mary would take care of her. And it's not known whether she survived. I think it's assumed that she did not survive, this young girl. They're very touching texts, and the music is extremely simple in a sense, but so profound and rich and expressive. And every movement is slow. And what is so amazing to me is that this is a piece that just stretches out for such a long time, and yet it has grabbed and kept and held the attention of so many listeners and has touched so many people.
Let's hear a little bit of it. This is Henrik Gorecki, Symphony No. 3. The singer is my guest, Dawn Upshaw, and we'll hear David Zinman conducting the London Sinfonietta. Dawn Upshaw performing Henrik Gorecki's Symphony No. 3. What were the first kinds of songs that you listened to as a girl?
I listened to a lot of folk music, and my father played guitar, and my mother, both my parents sing a bit, and my sister and I, when we were very young, went with them, and the four of us sang for students, for little kids in school. And we always had kind of a bit of a message, and it was during civil rights movement and in the early 60s. And that's what I grew up with. And I studied piano. I studied the oboe. And I guess it was through those two instruments that my musical background had broadened a little bit. But I didn't really hear any classical music in my home until I was ready to go to college.
I guess that's kind of late for someone who ended up singing opera.
I think so. It is a little bit late. But it's interesting because I remember the moment it all grabbed me. And it wasn't opera that grabbed me right away, but it was some very early music. I was listening to some choral music of Josquin, which is Renaissance music, and I was just blown away at how this piece had been put together. It was an onomatopoeic piece about war, and so the singers were making all of these sounds of the guns and the cannons and lots of contrapuntal writing. It was fascinating.
I know there was a time when you wanted to sing jingles.
Because
you can make a living simply that way?
Yes, it seemed pretty good to me. I was working as a secretary in a studio where they recorded jingles one summer between years in high school. And these singers would come in. I mean, they had to be able to read anything at sight, of course, and to sing in any style, or I guess frequently they invite different singers based on what they sound like, what they need for their commercials. But they would come in, and I mean, in the matter of 15 to 30 minutes, put down a jingle, and somebody told me how much they got paid at that time, the top singers. I don't know, it was something like $500,000 a year or something. And I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, it's terrible to hear me talking this way now, but I thought, gee, that sounds like a good living to me.
Was there a certain kind of jingle you could imagine yourself singing?
Well, there was one of my favorites that I heard while I was working, which was, I'll give a plug right now for Kalamazoo, Michigan. It was about Kalamazoo, and it said, "Yes, there really is a Kalamazoo, so much to offer you." I don't know. I really liked the tune, and I thought this would be really fun, you know. Somehow I got distracted. So I don't know that I would never consider doing that, but I guess other things have caught my eye since.
Oh, well, something to fall back on.
Perhaps.
Dawn Upshaw recorded last September. She's currently starring in the Metropolitan Opera's production of The Marriage of Figaro. Upshaw's latest recording, I Wish It So, features songs by Bernstein, Blitzstein, Sondheim, and Weill. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.